This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are all over the city. We hit up Haymarket, Old Irving, Goose Island, Violet Hour. So many great places you should be drinking at in the city. We dive into some of the events happening this week.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? What you think it is?
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
I'm Nick White. I love the voice that the on record voice that you hop into. Like we're talking in one tone, and then it shows on, and then boom, Brad.
You got to get into it. Man.
Brad's ready.
So it's just Nick and I this week. It was great having Afro Beer Chick on last week.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of fun times. And then we recorded like a post show, a Cellar Raid with her too.
Yeah, so that should be up on the YouTube channel at some point. I don't think it's there yet, but it's coming up. I kind of got behind on posting those, so that should be coming up soon.
Yeah.
So keep a lookout there. But if you're new to Chicago Beer Pass and you've listened to that week's episode, it's usually just Nick and I here talking about our drinking adventures.
Our journey, man.
Mm-hmm. And it always starts off with beer. Mm-hmm. And we're drinking the goddamn Pigeon Porter from Spiteful.
Indeed we are, man. Looks like Spiteful's in tallboy cans. Yeah, this is coming in at 8.2%.
Yeah. And this is a legit can, not shrink-wrapped or anything.
Not those cans that Brad hates and notices as soon as he picks up. Don't be an idiot. Drink fresh is what it says in capital letters.
Does it have a date code on it, though?
Oh, yeah, right? How are you supposed to drink it fresh? You don't know when it was made, man.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Maybe packaged on 11/15/17. So we're, what, 2 months old on that?
Yeah. Which, I mean, I feel okay about that.
Yeah, for a porter.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'm trying to think of what other porters I really dig. Porters versus stouts, like porters seem to be more, even like at 8%, porters seem to be like more biscuity and more of that burnt malt flavors, right? And stouts are like creamier and boozier for the most part.
But you've been feeling all those stouts lately, so I figured a porter was a good one to have on. We usually drink lighter beers.
Yeah, nice to, you know, still go heavier but not be too heavy.
Yeah. And you had been over to the Spiteful new brewery, brew pub, because you went after New Year's. I haven't been over there yet, so I need to check it out.
Yeah. Love those guys, man. They're graduates of the underground scene, the one where, you know, you're talking your 18 Streets, your New Oberfalls, your Spitefuls, you know, your Pipeworks. These were all crews that were doing their thing.
I think Pipeworks was like maybe a year before.
I think
that.
You're right. Yeah. I think
but
you're right.
Still running the same circle.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's good to see them up and running, man. I think it took them 5 years, but they got a nice tap room.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, I'll have to make it over there. Cool. Well, we'll sip on this and we'll dive into our past week. You made it. We went to a lot of stuff because our Instagram was blowing up. We posted, I think, a photo like every day, a couple times a day.
And sometimes it's gridlock. Like I'll look up and I'll see you and then I'll come right behind you. So I'm like, this is great. Yeah.
Kick it off. Where you been drinking at?
Let's start in West Loop at Haymarket. Haymarket Pub and Brewery, celebrating their 7th anniversary. We tapped on that a little bit. Got down with a little Claire's Thirsty Ale. So they were tapping. They always tap barrel-aged goodies the weekend of. And Claire's recently, the last 2 years, has gotten the weekend started on a Thursday.
Yeah.
And all the other beers tap on like a Friday.
Okay. So you went for the Claire's release, not for the anniversary party.
Right. Okay. Right. Because I know last year, and you know, Haymarket always does a job of like really fair prices, working man prices as part of their business model.
Yeah.
So they were like rolling anniversary style Claire's Howlers for like really cheap, like $5-6.
Really?
This was last year.
Oh.
So I went and hopefully I get some of that because I knew the Bombers, they packaged it in Bombers this year for the first time ever. So, and I know that I missed out on that. 850 Bombers in 90 minutes online a week before the launch, but you can still get it on tap.
But could you get a Howler to go?
You could not get a Howler.
Okay.
So I'm talking to Gemma. Cheers to Mike Gemma, the GM over there. And I'm like, so what's the deal, man? You guys have a bottling line now? He's like, no, we bottled down the street at Cruz Blanca.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was like, that's pretty cool, you know. But he's like, yeah, I think this is going to be a theme for them, since mm-hmm. this went so fast. So you might see some of their other Berlay stuff. Yeah. Let's see. What else? Oh, yeah. I got it on draft. You know, you could get Claire's in a milkshake. You could do like a Claire's float that day.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. They just got this root beer float on the menu. And for that day, they were substituting root beer for Claire's.
Oh, okay. Did you try it?
I mean, no, I didn't.
No. Okay.
I went straight. There was Claire's Thirsty Ale, two sizes on that. And then there was Claire's Right Hook, which is the barley wine. And I kind of been on this barley wine kick lately. I'm moving away from stouts, right. Leaning into these barley wines heavy, you know, seeing which one I really like. So I rolled those two, and then they had a mini Matthias on.
Okay.
4.5% version. So they say, you know, regular Matthias is like 11.
Yeah.
And this is has all the hops of regular Matthias, but half of everything else.
Yeah. Matthias is a great beer, and I remember having mini Matthias, I think, for the first time at Beer Under Glass. Yeah. I think that's where they debuted it or showed it off for the first time.
Yeah. So that was good, man. I was thinking about Haymarket, man, and then, you know, we talk about Pete Crowley extensively on the show, and
yeah.
you know, and then their location. And I was thinking to myself, you know, they were in Restaurant Row before everyone else got there.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really one of the most important breweries in the city when you think about it, because Pete, he was brewing at Rock Bottom 13 years before mm-hmm. he opened Haymarket.
Right.
And that was the only brewery downtown, as far as I can think of. I mean, all the way back to the 90s. So before Rock Bottom, you're talking like mid 90s, early 90s. You're talking Seabins and River North. You're talking Tap and the Growler, which is Jack's Tap mm-hmm. Downtown. And this is like, so we're talking Haymarket opens in 2010. And this is like he's like the only brewer consistently downtown. And not only that, but he's killing it.
Yeah.
You know, by the time Haymarket opened, he had 7 GABF medals at freaking Rock Bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they opened there, it looked like a wasteland.
Yeah.
Like, it's not what it is now. There was rumors of them building another train stop.
Oh, really?
They might build one in a couple years. That's the plan. It's like, what are you guys doing over here? Is this at least we can park here because it's nothing's here, but now you can't have a park over there.
Yes, probably. I mean, no matter what neighborhood you live in, you don't have the collection of restaurants that West Loop has,
right?
No other neighborhood can say that.
You only had Publican at the time. You're like, well, maybe I get some beers at Haymarket and then walk over to the Publican and grab some beer and some food, or vice versa.
Right.
And that was all you could do, 6 years ago when they mm-hmm. opened. So. Yeah.
yeah. So the 850 bottles were spoken for, but they had 3 kegs, and they probably went through that night, would be my guess.
Okay.
Because everyone around us was rolling Claire's pretty heavy.
Nice.
Claire's is nice, man. You know, like definitely raspberry and like a nice like bourbon-y booze forward.
Cool.
Yeah, but like perfect body. It was just very enjoyable, man. Like even when it warmed up, I was just really excited. But I'm kind of a fanboy. You know, we took the Brew Bus there. That was a flagship stop for years.
Yeah.
So we've always just been a fan of their stuff. So I'm kind of excited for them. Then they're coming into that era, that cool kid era where, you know, you do the bottle release.
Bottle release, sell out in 90 minutes. You know? Yeah, people are talking about you. It helps that they won, silver at GABF.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, for Claire's, at FOBAB this year.
Yeah.
For Claire's, yeah.
You got to wonder, like, that of course. The beer is great, but of course, winning the medal, you know, gets those beer nerds excited for that.
Yeah, for people who don't have like a reference point because they've never, you know, they call them. I love on in the chat groups they call them new money. They're like, you know, these kids that come along and you know they blast all these old brewers like this beer sucks because you said it was chocolate in it. I don't taste any chocolate. Like guys that got in like a year or two ago.
Okay.
And like those guys, yeah. So, it's cool. It's cool to see them. Into this new era of beer that we've got here. So
nice.
You know, as far as like catering to the bottle releases.
Uh-huh.
So
awesome. I was over at Goose Island Clybourne this past weekend.
You're at Clybourne.
I hit up that, checked that out finally for the first time.
Okay. So you experienced this this new Goose Island Clybourne, huh?
Yeah. went in there, met up with a bunch of friends. Kent Huntermeter was there.
Yeah.
So, you know, got to experience Goose with the Goose Man himself.
right.
So it was good because then I was like, oh, I hadn't heard about some of these beers. Like Dooley was beer.
Irish Stout or
something,
right?
Yeah, it was a Fulton Wood beer. I was like, oh, I missed his video that he did, and I didn't really know about it, so it's kind of nice to have him there to be like, oh yeah, that's this video, and give some more insight in some of the beers that I should try, because I just haven't been over to Claiborne. I haven't looked at Goose Island's offerings in a little while.
Right.
So, yeah, I just went over for a couple beers. But, yeah, going into the Claiborne pub, it feels like someone came in there and decided we need to get rid of everything that is going to resemble or make this special. Like, how can we make this gray?
It's you know, the overcast for, you know, I can't describe it any other way. It just looks, you know, partly sunny and gray and chance of rain.
Yeah.
That's how the whole spot looks.
It just feels blah. Like, the beer is good and friends were eating and, you know, they said the food was good. But the whole space just feels dead. Because I think if it was in a spot where you had more, like, outdoor space or, like, were able to, like, see more windows, but it's, like, in a hole that feels like you're supposed to be outside. It feels like a garage. That's what it feels like. It feels like someone's turned their garage into like a restaurant.
Like a fancy state-of-the-art restaurant.
Yeah.
I do like the one room in the back. Did you go to the, I think they're calling it like the vintage room or something. You know, the second bar that was Carl's.
Okay. I didn't. I looked in there because I was looking around for people, but it looked the same. I don't know. It all felt the same.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that entry room or the entry space. They have all that merchandise now and you can kind of see into the kitchen, which is nice, but it's still that whole entry space is like, why? What's happening here? Where do I go? There's still no, like, what is this? What's happening here? Do I go in this room or, there's another room? I can't see that when I walk in.
Yeah. I liked it the way it was, but
what I think it does is it just makes it so when the lease goes up again, because it will, or that building gets torn down to build something else, there's no feelings towards Goose Claiborne anymore, right? Man. Like, you can't have feelings about, like, gray metal.
I mean, I see what you're saying. And I feel like it's part of the attempt was maybe to uniform it with, because people will tell you, like, hey, you know, there's these Goose Islands in, like, you know, the Hard Rock Cafe in Vegas and in Philly and, you know, Detroit at the, you know, all these other places. So maybe that was driving it, like an attempt to, like, have all these places feel a certain way if you were to go, no matter which one you went to.
Yeah, I'm sure that is. But Fulton feels nice. Like, the Fulton Tap Room, it feels, although it has, like, a similar, like, metal, industrial feel, there's something that feels, like, also cozy about it because it's smaller.
Yeah.
And you're not just in, like, a warehouse kind of thing.
Yeah.
The tap room over at the production brewery, it's not really a tap room. It's like an event space there that has all the barrels on it.
You're talking about the barrel warehouse where we recorded with John Jankowski.
So that also has that feeling of like I'm in a brewery. Nothing about Claiborne feels like you're in a brewery. You just feel like you're in just a place.
They took the restaurant concept because they'll tell you they like consulted with like, you know, whoever, like I haven't been a Girl and a Goat, but I think like that crew, like they, you know, these guys had like some other restaurants under their belt that they designed. I kind of wish it felt more, now that you mention it, I wish it felt like the Barrel Warehouse a little bit more.
Yeah. There's no coziness involved in it. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was kind of thinking, well, maybe it's just a new space. You know, I'm surprised that they have so much more space for making beer that they do.
Right.
So I'm surprised at that.
Yeah. So that's nice. Hopefully see more beer from them, you know, coming up. I looked at the menu. There's a lot of beers I didn't recognize, but Dooley jumped out at me. And then I think I had some sort of triple or double IPA. I'm forgetting the name right now.
Yeah. I do like the fact that their brewers have a lot of buzz around their pub only releases. And I feel like you'll see a lot more of those types of things. I think you got to go into production at this point when you got that kind of space. All that beer can't just be for the tap room because that's how the old place was, right? Like they didn't really package a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah,
I feel like that's, you got to package more stuff with all this new space.
I guess, yeah. But do they have that license to do that there? I guess they did those bottles when the pub was going to close the first time. They're releasing like Midway IPA and a bunch of other stuff in large format bottles.
Yeah.
But so they do have, I guess they have that license. So maybe they do start packaging some stuff, which would be smart.
Yeah. Bourbon County year round, I think, is one of the plans over there. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that was my experience with that space. I can see myself ending up there, but it's not. It's almost a place that's, it's a safe place. You could take your family there and be like, no one's going to get upset.
Yeah. I'm ready to get wild and do a little Belgian Fest there. I'm kind of missing, or Stout Fest is first.
Yeah. Is that going to be there?
I hope so. Right?
I don't know.
If they did all this stuff and don't do Stout Fest and Belgian Fest there, I'm going to be a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
We'll see. We shall see.
All right. How about you? What else did you hit up this week?
Man, you know, the fourth annual Stone Cider Competition was this weekend.
Okay. Not to be confused with Stone Brewing.
Not to be confused with Stone Brewing.
Okay.
This is a cocktail. It's a bourbon and cider-based cocktail. So went over that. This is, of course, Virtue Cider. You know, this was at the Violet Hour. I don't know if you've been there. This is part of the Publican Group right across the street from Big Star.
Not for a long time.
It's sexy time in there, man. They said 2012, according to Foursquare, is the last time I was there.
Okay.
Yeah. It's I was kind of thinking, well, hey, this is a fundraiser, and this is an event, so maybe it'll be less sexy. Maybe it'll feel like more of an event space. No. Cocktail hour. Sexy time.
Still just dark. No phones.
Yeah, no phones and dark and big drapes. Big, heavy velour, velvet drapes everywhere. Yeah.
That no phone thing is really funny because, you know, I haven't been like you probably since like 2004.
Yeah.
And even at that time, we were like, I'm just going to use my phone. Does this mean I just can't talk on it, right? I think that was kind of the rule. But some people kind of saw it as like, oh, no, you can't even like use your phone. And that was, you know, like 4 years ago. So now it's like... You gotta be kidding me. Everyone's still got their phone out, taking a picture, doing stuff.
I still like the space, and I like the move for the event. Last time it was at the the same building that Cindy's is in, that the Chicago Athletic Association. And that was like a repurposed basketball gymnasium.
Okay.
That was pretty cool. I like that it's different. I'm a big fan of like, you know, Chicago, man. You know, we can go to a bunch of cool spots. You got a party, you can roll a new cool spot every time. Right. So I like that standpoint. I'll just hit you with the winners, man. There was a People's Choice and they had esteemed judges. And so there was their choice. So the People's Choice was the Broken English Taco Pub.
Okay.
Right? And the judge's choice was Three Dots and a Dash.
Okay.
Who they had a really cool cider based cocktail with a little cachaça. I always butcher that, man.
Cachaça?
It's basically like Brazilian version of rum.
Oh.
Right? And you know, lemon and apple syrup, blah blah blah. That was really good.
Oh, I know what you're I have to see the word, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I always butcher it. It's like cachaça.
Yeah, no, but yes, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Always pick these topics where it's time to like say these words, and I always fuck these words up, man. God, what's wrong with me? Oh, but anyway, that one, you know, that was a lot more layered, had a lot more going on than the one note of sweet orange syrup, cough medicine, if you will, that the Broken English, but I didn't think it was that great. The Broken English.
So you weren't one of the peoples that voted.
I was not one of the peoples. I tell you what I voted for, man. This one from Ada Street. It was called Slow Disco. It had a black walnut bitters and a 7-year-old rum.
Okay.
So and a Luxardo Amaro Abano. It's just like this herbaceous liqueur. Yeah. Oh, but anyway, so Greg Hall is there, right? And I get Greg Hall to sign my book, Locally Brewed. You know,
were you waiting for him?
I was waiting on him. It was Jared Rubin at FOBAB and then Greg Hall.
Do you just carry around this book at all times?
If I feel like someone's going to be at the thing, here I am with this orange Sharpie in the book at the thing. You know, just waiting. I'm waiting to pounce. I see him like, not yet. And then I see him, I pounce.
Okay.
You know. but yeah, it was cool, man. Because, you know, it's good for the living room. That's a good talking piece, you know.
Nice. So you got him to sign it.
I got him to sign it. And anyway, so, you know. In the while I'm thinking about Greg Hall, because I said this to I said the same thing to from Cicerone
Ray Daniels.
I'm like, this is my my Mount Rushmore, my Chicago Mount Rushmore. And I said this to Ray Daniels. He's like, where are you from? Like, it was kind of tripped me out. Oh, but I said my Chicago Mount Rushmore would be, Crowley, P. Crowley.
Okay.
Cuddy, Jonathan Cutler from Peace.
Okay.
Ray Daniels and John Hall.
Okay.
You know? But then the more I think about it, I'm like, yeah, you know, John founded the brewery, and that was my reason behind it. But if you think about the innovation and, you know, and the beers and the ability to bring in, like, really talented people and keep them there, that wasn't John Hall. That was Greg Hall.
Oh, okay.
You know, because so I don't know if
you're bumping John off your monument here.
So I thought about that. So I didn't get a chance to talk to that with Greg because it was a packed house. This event was sold out. But, you know, just some thoughts I had on Greg when he was signing my book. And then he makes this move where it's like, all right, cool. His dad says we're selling the brewery, and he gets pissed for a minute. But then his next project is to make a cider company and then, like, really kind of get us all, you know, drinking a little more cider than we were before Virtue rolled around. I don't think we were all drinking as much cider.
I think we were starting to dabble in it, but all we knew was sweet ciders.
Exactly. He's got these semi-dry ciders, you know, these ciders that kind of taste more like wine. So, yeah, that was exciting. Mm-hmm. Oh, but, you know, one last note about that party. I ran into, Adam Vavrick's wife, Kim, is on the marketing side of Virtue. And she said that Beer Adam was working with, he works at both Publicans. So, you know, the one at the airport and then the original one. Okay. Actually, three now. And the one, the Publican Anchor in Wicker Park. But he's also spending time with Leader's Beverage because they are designing a draft system for the new Big Star that's going to be across the street from Wrigley Field.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Big Star making moves. And then Adam's part of the beer program there, too, because it's all part of the Publican group. So
they're getting rid of Taco Bell and adding Big Star.
Man.
Is that the...
Big Star is, you know, I think Big Star and, you know, unrelated, like the whole Au Cheval thing.
Yeah.
I think those are prime for just, like, ramping up and making a bunch of them everywhere.
They're good, but, yeah, they're kind of expensive at the end of the day, right? They are really good tacos. Yeah. But
for tacos, it's a bit pricey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more about, I guess, you're paying for the vibe, I guess.
Yeah, but we are jaded in Chicago. We run the gamut of, you know, very cheap tacos that aren't good, very cheap tacos that are good, expensive tacos that are good. Like,
ain't it cool?
Yeah, we have so many tacos.
You go to some places and it's just, oh, we got this Tex-Mex style.
Yeah, we got Chipotle.
You know, that's it. we got some variant of Chipotle. Here we got it all. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But cheers to those guys. I enjoy that as a winter party. Very cool winter party.
Awesome. So,
man, sorry to ramble there, man. But
yeah, all good.
I got excited, man.
What else? I saw a picture from the Maple Room.
I went to the Maple Room.
Anyway, is that catching on at all? Are people calling it that yet?
No one's calling it the Maple Room. Yeah.
People should start calling it the Maple Room.
It's the M Lounge is the sign, you know, and it's it actually sits at the end of the block on Maplewood, which was fun. So it's basically a block over from the old Ale Syndicate.
Okay.
Yeah, like right there off Diversity. Okay. Yeah, right in Logan. Yeah, not a whole lot to report there. It's a cool space. I like the space. They serve their Russian Imperial Stout in coffee mugs, which was cool.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's neat.
It was packed on a Sunday night, too, man.
Was the space pretty big?
I wouldn't say it was that big.
Okay.
No, it's just that one room, brick, exposed roof, and behind the bar is a huge glass pane where you can see into the distillery/brewery.
Okay.
My assumption is that they've been brewing there the whole time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And they just kind of expanded out to the tap room.
Yeah. One thing about that space, man, is that it sits on a residential block, which is pretty player. I don't know any other, like,
breweries that do that.
I mean, not in Chicago. In other places you go, it's like a normal thing because there's no separation, residential versus commercial. But here, that's usually a distinction.
Right. So it was almost like a corner bar.
Yeah. Kind of thing. That's almost really in the vein of last remaining small bar. You ever been to that one, the small bar, Logan? How you're just walking down the street, and then boom, there's this.
Yeah, it's just your corner bar. Chicago is known for that, right? Just like you could wander into any street, and there is probably a bar at least some point, or at least there used to be. There's less of those now. But that's
so
cool.
It kind of sits like that.
Oh, neat.
Sneaky good. Great Sunday night spot.
Awesome.
That
place.
So, yeah. But that was it, man. That's all I hit up, man.
I think when you were over that, or maybe you went that evening, I went over to Old Irving Brewery.
Right on.
Yeah. First time stopping in there. I had some time. Maeve was at a baby shower, so I was like, oh, this is my chance. Let's go somewhere. I was like, do I want to drive like to 350 or something?
You weren't invited to the baby shower?
No. Yeah. Most of the time, guys are not invited to the baby shower. That's usually.
That's true.
I think it was a girls and gays kind of thing.
There you go.
Sometimes guys are invited, but no, I was not invited to this one. So took the opportunity to go check out a brewery, and I figured Old Irving. Let's do that. It wasn't too far, and it's right off the expressway, so it's super easy to get to. And it was around lunchtime, so I was like, let's hit this up.
Like Montrose, I want to say, right off 94 Montrose.
Yeah. So went in there. I got a burger, and I got their, I think, Blood Skies. Mm-hmm. That might be right. Yeah. So I'm in there taking a picture of the beer to post on our Instagram, and Trevor, the owner, he's sitting right like a couple seats down. He's like, I see him out of the corner of my eye, look at the Instagram feed, and he's like, looks around, and then he came over and said hi.
He's like, hey, it's you.
Yeah. He's like, you Chicago Beer Fest? Did you post? I was like, oh, yeah. So he came over, gave me his card, gave me a beer, and said we should come out and record there. So, yeah.
That would be fun. Because, I mean, Trevor's one of these guys. I know he was a chef, but I don't know much about the project at all. And I went opening night, but I haven't been able to go back. So.
Cool, yeah. I liked the spot. The burger, it was a good burger. Not like the best burger. It was good burger.
Solid.
I can't say it's a Owen and Engine burger, because that burger.
Man, they say, man.
That burger is good, but this burger was good. It had bacon on it. It was just a good burger. They do like double fried fries.
Right on.
Yeah, and service was excellent. The beer was really good. He gave me a bomber of that, so maybe we'll record another video with that beer.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they're around still, because that project could have like just kind of dissipated. Because I think like there was a guy who was like he ended up like passing away or something.
Oh, really?
Okay. That was on that project. It was like one of the principal characters in that project.
Okay.
That passed away, and I think it could have all gone away, and I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah. So this was like Sunday afternoon. It wasn't like packed, but there was people in there. People were watching whatever game was on TV at the time. They have lots of TVs in there. It's a, I think Haymarket probably has more TVs, but they have a lot. They had like a projector going with a game in the like dining room area. I was sitting at the bar.
You kind of got to cater to that crowd at this point.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, because there's so many spots. I think there's like 70 fucking breweries, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them have tap rooms.
And they felt like it feels more residential over there, like a little more families, maybe like kids out with their parents, like, 20-somethings with their parents. Like, let's go get dinner or lunch, something like that. So
what I've always been attracted to in those neighborhoods like Irving Park and Portage Park and Jeff Park is that a lot of those homes, those homes sit on like suburban sized lots.
Yeah.
So it kind of has like a, even though it's still the city, it kind of has a suburban vibe. I've always dug that about the Northwest side.
Yeah. It took me a minute to find a place to park because it was all permit over there. I was like, what's going on here? Come on. Like, who's parking on your street? Permit parking. Please.
Fucking city, man.
But yeah, really good spot. I will probably go over there again. I think we'll probably go there and record at some point.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I'm down with that.
Cool. Woo! That was our week, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well,
good week. That's a solid week.
Yeah, that was a good week. We made it out. So then, let's jump into this weekend. I'm sure there's a few events happening for us to talk about.
Let's do it, man. We will start on Friday, the 19th. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Patty Long's. That's another bar that sits in the middle of a block.
Yeah.
Patty Long's is doing their annual Bourbon County thing on Friday. Yeah, so noteworthy here, they're going to have Cooper's Project 1 through 3.
Okay.
I don't think I've had all those. They're going to have the full 2017 lineup. They're also going to have Regal Rye on draft from 2015.
Nice.
Okay. And that was the one that had like those sea salt and like Luxardo cherries.
Oh, yeah, that is a really good version.
That was a nice one. So that is Friday the 19th. And then Saturday, man, we got a couple of big events. We will start with the 20th annual Brewpub Shootout.
Nice. So this is a guild event. Illinois. No, Craft Brewer.
No, Chicago Beer Society.
Chicago Beer Society, yeah.
No, they're similar, though. Yeah.
Chicago Beer Society kind event.
Yeah, there's 1 p.m. at Beta Brow. That's a $75 ticket.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. There's the Chicago Bacon and Beer Fest at 980 North Michigan.
Patty Longs is involved in that?
Right.
Aren't they like...
They're like the bacon guys. Like
the bacon and beer guys.
They're the bacon and beer guys. No, this is a different crew. That's 1 to 5. The Chicago Bacon and Beer Fest at 980 North Michigan doesn't ring a bell at all. I don't. I'm not the guy hanging out on North Michigan though. That's not. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the Beer Bistro is. When's the last time you've been to the Beer Bistro, man?
It's been a long time. Love Bob, such a great guy. Probably like a one of those big figures in the Chicago beer scene. So I just haven't been over there. I haven't even been in that neighborhood in a long time.
Yeah. Cheers to Bob McDermott. A long time ago, I recorded like a blind tasting with Marty Nachel in the basement of the Beer Bistro. They have lockers. It's like a locker program down there. Bob's a cool guy. He's wild. He's a fun guy though. They're doing their 8th annual Stout Takeover this weekend. I actually think I'm gonna go to this. It starts at 11 on Saturday.
Okay.
And then Black Ops, BCS Prop, CBS, and Big Bad Batista, just to name a few.
What's Big Bad Batista?
Big Bad Batista is from Epic Brewing out in Colorado.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and their whole Batista series is like, you know, different levels to their Batistas.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's Saturday. And finally Saturday, Lou Dog Events, man. Chicago Ale Fest Winter Edition at the Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier.
Nice. So Lou Dog put on the Brewer's Eve.
Fantastic time at Brewer's Eve.
Mm-hmm. So now, the Navy Pier.
He's putting in work.
Yeah.
It's like... 2-3 weeks later, back at it.
No rest, man.
Yeah, and this one's a little bit different because Brewer's Eve had the cute, tight 10 brewer like lineup. This is more of a traditional fest. This is 50 breweries, 2 sessions, so 11 to 3 p.m. and then 5 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
And then, there's going to be a ton of stuff there. The couple things that jumped out is this Noon Whistle is going to be there. They're out in Lombard. They have something called the Squishy Gummy IPA. That's their haze.
Okay. You know?
And I hear a lot about it, so I'm excited about that. And then Cascade out in Portland. They're going to be there.
Oh, wow.
When I was in Portland, I had something called the Bubonic Plague.
Yeah, Bubonic Plague, yeah.
And that's going to be there. So those jumped out at me. That's going to be a good time at Navy Pier.
Cool. So grab tickets. I'm sure they're still available. It's a huge space, so it probably won't sell out. They might, but you should check that out.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to the Navy Pier, is a little gross, you know, very touristy. But if you haven't been to the—
But not in the winter.
That's maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Just period for me. I'm like,
who's going to Navy Pier in the winter? It's a pier on the water.
It is a pier on the water. The Shakespeare Theater's there.
Okay.
If you go to, but if you haven't been to the Grand Ballroom at Navy Pier, I would go. That's a great space.
Okay.
Great space. But yeah, that's it for events, man.
So those, all the events. We usually close out here with some beer news. Let's dive into that.
Cool. Let's do it. We're going to start with Green Flash.
Okay.
So Green Flash, they were in all 50 states, you know, and then they bought Alpine Brewing. Mm-hmm. And then they, but they announced this week that they're going to pull out of 33 of those states.
Whoa.
Yeah, they're cutting 15% of their workforce. So they're going to go from all 50 states to 17 states.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, Illinois will not be one of those states, man. They're pulling out of Illinois.
They are.
But we talk about this all the time, man. I mean, I feel like, you know, there was a House of Blues event and, you know, it was a beer event, and the only reason I had Green Flash is because when I was upstairs at House of Blues, it was the only beer on that floor.
Right.
But as Green Flash, even though their beer is good, it's not something I would seek out, just being, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's bad. That kind of sucks, because Green Flash was also a brewery I remember drinking a lot of, getting their craft beer. One, it was cheap. And then they had a series of sour or Brett beers that were in, like, stubbier bottles.
Yeah.
I'm blanking on the name right now, that were just excellent, like on par with the R&D series from Goose, New Glarus.
Oh, okay, right on.
I'm forgetting the name of it now, but it was a great beer. So that's a bummer. But yeah, we've talked about how Chicago drinks Chicago beer. Illinois probably drinks Chicago beer too.
It's tough, man, because you can be a brewery that makes good beer, even like Uinta from wherever they're from, Utah or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, when I first got in, I would drink their stuff all the time. Their stuff's really good to me. But, I mean, I haven't bought a beer from them in, like, fucking 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, because you know what I mean? Because it's, like, it's all Chicago all the time now.
Right.
But I think most places are like that now. So yeah, sucks for them, but they check and adjust, and then there's like, well, fuck it, we'll just scale back and we'll just serve these. Basically, they're in California, so basically from California to Texas, and then they have another location in Virginia, so they'll serve the northeastern states as well. So
makes sense.
Yeah, the good folks at Dogfish Head have announced that in 2018 they're bringing back Bitches Brew, which I really dug Bitches Brew. It was
I remember having it. Yeah,
it was like the 30th anniversary of Miles Davis' album of the same name.
That's right.
And then they had these three different stouts, and then they added like some kind of African honey, and then they aged it in Palo Santo wood.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a year round offering in 12-ounce bottles now.
Damn. Okay.
I actually been vibing on like that album lately.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's like trippy, psychedelic ass jazz. It's not like Kenny G jazz.
All right, I might have to go check that out. But again, Dogfish Head, another brewery we don't see or drink much of anymore.
It's true. I happen to have a 120 this week from Dogfish Head, and I forgot how good it is, you know? Like 16% IPA.
No, all their beers are great. I think the Squelch, I recently had that. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. So, and let's talk about an event called Hops and Props. So up in Wisconsin, man, in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oshkosh,
begosh. Hops and Props. They're having the tickets went on sale this week. It is the 14th annual Hops and Props, Brad. So this event is at a airport, man. It's in the Eagle Hangar at the Experimental Aircraft Association in Wisconsin. It sounded pretty cool because I'm like, yo, when's the last time I've been to like, all right, so first of all, it's an airport hangar, but it's also a museum for old military
that's cool.
Aircrafts. It sounded really cool, man. So they say it's the largest collection of antique military aircrafts in the world. Oh, 60 breweries, 300 beers. The reason I bring it up is because in addition to the festival in March, if you want, there's a 5-course Three Floyds dinner the same day, 2 hours before the party.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, but tickets for that went on sale. I know a lot of people like to get out into do the regional thing.
Yeah.
You know, hit Indiana, hit Wisconsin for a day and see what's going on.
Right. Yeah, you can travel around. If you have a fest, you can plan for it and make a weekend of it.
Yeah, so.
Cool. Check that out.
A couple more events, man. The good folks at Dusix. Jeff Andertuck is the beer manager over there now. They have a series called Brew University now. So apparently every week for the next 4 weeks, they're going to have beer tastings from one brewery. And the brewery story will be told. The brewery will be on hand. And they'll talk about things like mixed fermentation and, you know, unusual yeast strains. Oh. And they'll try to educate people on beer while they're sampling out beer. $75 ticket. The first in those is Middlebrow.
Okay.
Followed by Weiner, Off Color, and Half Acre. This happens every week for the next 4 weeks.
Nice. I just picked up some Middlebrow beer we might drink next week.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Right on. And finally, in news, man, the Brewers Association. You know, the Craft Brewer Conference is coming up for 2018. It's coming up in like a month.
Where's it at this year?
Oh, man, Music City in Nashville.
Oh, cool.
I was talking to the Beta Bro guys, man. I'm thinking about like road tripping it down there. Oh, I've nice. Never been to Nashville.
Never been to Nashville either, yeah.
So, but they announced today that the keynote speaker will be the founder and president of New Glarus, Miss Deb Carey.
Nice.
And her husband is the brewmaster up there.
Cool.
Yeah, so.
They should probably think about, you know, working with us for, you know, beer podcasts.
We should probably talk about the art of podcasting.
Yeah.
You know?
Beer and podcasting, how breweries can take advantage of social media, grassroots action.
I mean, we are nothing if not grassroots.
Yeah.
Brad, you know?
Or hops and barley. Is that like could you substitute grassroots for like hops and no?
They'll be like, yeah, no. You had me with the grassroots thing.
Oh, damn.
We're not going to talk to you guys about hops and barley. And we just pitch a fit like, why not?
Yeah. All right.
But well, yeah, man, that's it for news, man.
All right. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Man, we were all over the place this week.
That was good.
Continue this ride.
Yeah.
So, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch when we're not here?
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter, at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter, at Chicago Beer Pass. Mentioned Instagram a couple times, so look that up, Chicago Beer Pass. Photos going up of sexy-looking beers
that
you want to drink that, you know, beer porn.
Get over to the Maple Room for some beer porn.
Yeah. At the website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there, and links to iTunes, Stitcher, and the video version as well. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers. No gut, no glory. I was like, where did you get this cup from? No gut.